Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guests, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. It's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about guardian angels. What are they? Can you see them, feel them, sense them? Just as I've shared on this radio show so many times over the last decade, is that I thought that was normal. I see them all the time. I sense them all the time. I hear, sense, touch, feel, and have a knowing, and I thought everybody did. Well, I think it's a time that more people are starting to feel and sense their angels around them, and isn't that a wonderful time in which we are living? Today, my guest is Karen Musette. Her book is My Guardian Angels. Karen, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. Karen, I think that it's such a wonderful time when people are starting to see, sense, or feel energies around them. And your book, My Guardian Angels, is an exact, just you telling the story, how it started, what you sensed, what you felt, and how you were able to capture the moment. Yes?
Oh, man. Oh, sure. I prayed like a madwoman. I prayed all night long and into the morning, and I was a broken record. I couldn't stop crying and praying to God, and everyone has their own God, but for me it was Jesus.
Right.
And I suddenly felt this divine love, this overwhelming sense of love fill my room and surround me and encompass me, and I felt comforted. I was comforted, and I couldn't see these lights, but I felt the lights. I felt this energy, and I felt this beautiful energy. As a child, I was completely abused, but I took up the arts as a child, and I took up photography as a child. So I picked up my cell phone. I was compelled to shoot these lights. I don't know how. I don't really even know why and how I did it, but I did it. And I captured these beautiful, bright rays of light in my room. And there are two different lights. So I believe there were two angelic spirits in my room because they're both completely different energy if you look at the lights, right?
Right.
So that's my story, and it lasted like 19 minutes, this whole encounter that I had with these. I didn't even know it was termed a divine intervention at the moment. I didn't know because I'm not religious. I just believe in God. You know, I'm spiritual. I'm not religious. So,
you know, it's interesting. I think a lot of people are broken these days, and we've always said on the radio show, what are you broken about? And they'll say, I don't know. And I'll say, is it just broken of mind, body, spirit, or soul?
Mm-hmm,
and I think sometimes when you bring it into that context, you say, okay, maybe that gives me a little bit more guidance and direction rather than saying, oh, my foot is hurting, my head is hurting, I don't have money in the bank, this doesn't work, my car doesn't work, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when we can go back to the source of it, we're able to say, okay, now sit and feel with that feeling. What does a broken heart feel like? You know, I've shared many times over the last 10 years is that I've done so much work in healthcare in the past 5 decades, and it's really been centered around the heart and the soul and the spirit. And when you sit down and you look at a normal heart in surgery, it's you say, okay, got it. And you say, oh, but where did the soul go? Where did the spirit go? You know, and just as you shared, it's a sense or a feeling or an energy change. That's really what we're talking about today, yes?
It goes way deeper than yes, of course, you know, needing money or needing a car, your car fixed, or those are very superficial things. I mean, what happened to me was like, it doesn't get any deeper. You know, that's pretty much the epitome of the depth of our soul right there.
Right.
And this is yes, of course, the heart of the matter of humanity. You know, people have to remember the evolution of their souls. And I think that this experience that I had, of course, made me write about it, because we're destroying our planet. And, you know, people don't think about everything that happens to you in this life. Everything that you do in this life affects where you go in the next life. And the next life, the spirit life, is the one that's the most important. You know, and I say this on talk shows all the time, how much it matters that what you do as a human being in this world, what you do to yourself, what you do to others, what you do to the animal kingdom, what you do, you know, to your own dog, what you do to, you know, help yourself improve, or even think about your own heart, you know, because that's what really, really matters in this life. And I think a lot of people are lost with that. I think a lot of people are disconnected with that.
Right.
And it saddens me, because, you know, this is what's most important, really.
You know, I think sometimes when you and I have these moments, we sense and see things, and then something else will come up. It's another moment of focus. Just as you've said, then you see things in the world around you. You see things out there and how you're participating in them. Then you also eventually go through that, and you have another time where you see how others, you might be able to share the moment with them so that they can also shift their practices,
of course, of
beliefs,
course,
and habits. And I think truly it's really about when you see or sense a moment, a profound moment of your soul or spirit or whatever that might be for you, that really creates a ripple effect. And I think that's the whole purpose of it also.
Today we discuss many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.
Easily, it's like It's a Wonderful Life, one of my favorite movies. That Frank Capra did, how the effect of, you know, Jimmy Stewart's life had on others. And when he was gone, you know, the angel came down and said, okay, your life is gone, because he said he wished he'd never been born. How the whole world was different. His whole existence, the whole town was different. And ugly and sort of, you know, not nearly as beautiful without his spirit there in the world. And we all have an effect on each other. I totally believe in that. And I even discuss this with my friends, you know, and they're like, yeah.
Yeah. And I think, though, also, too, is that people think of it as an esoteric or philosophical way of living, when truly it is the only way of living. We've separated things out so much.
Exactly.
That we can't even see the context of the moment in time.
You know, exactly.
It's interesting, you know, Karen, we look back, I've said this before in the show, is that, you might not remember, but in the 50s and 60s, when the highways were just being built and turnpikes, I was living in Pennsylvania at that time, and I always remember people used to just throw their garbage out the windows. That was when fast food came out.
You know, I hate to say this, but they still do it.
Right, but it was very common then, you know, because you ate and you threw it out. And then you think about it, then in the 80s, there were signs, do not litter, and you'd get a fine for it. And now you don't see those signs anymore, but you see it randomly, you know. And I think sometimes we think about what are we really seeing or noticing in the world around us and how are we participating in it, you know. But there's such a great evolution of someone said, hey, stop throwing stuff out. Stop putting stuff out your window. And eventually it changed the cycle. It's just that sometimes when we see the world really going through this, we want it to be so quick, yet it takes so much time. We feel like we're on like this really slow, like stuck in the muck kind of thing to get things to shift, don't you think?
Well, no. It's just sort of been, especially in this country. I mean, Europe is way ahead of us in that matter. You know, they're so way ahead of us. I mean, I buy my doggy bags from a company that grows the corn in Italy, and they're compostable and they're biodegradable, but they're made in, you know, it's a Norwegian company. And this is just one of the products that in which they're way ahead of us and care about the environment before we do. It's really this country. And I hate to say, because I'm fifth generation Californian, you know, I'm fifth generation American, that we are so behind the times with the environment, you know. And California is, like, of course, leap years ahead of the rest of the country. But, you know, it breaks my heart that we can't get anything done here, because it's just a cycle, this vicious cycle, you know. Ugh, it's frustrating.
Well, don't you think also, too, that if you look at a loop, a frequency loop, or you look at how change really is incremental and it just closes the book on the topic, is when you have to go full circle. So if Europe is making these changes now and it's wonderful there, we look at China, they probably aren't. India and Korea, well, they don't have a need for it. Well, maybe in the U.S. we are doing the global effect by awareness, by joining in and seeing how others are doing it and saying we're not going to do it that way. It's sort of like you always have to clean the bottom of the toilet, you know, or otherwise the next day it's sort of like it wasn't done in the first place. So maybe there
even the toilet is sinking.
Right, but maybe we are in essence, that is our position at this time, is to have it in awareness. Once we have it in awareness, then things start to shift. So if we as Americans are here clearing the bottom of the bucket, so to speak, that is a global effect because it does make change. You know, wind blows across the ocean. Mountains and water is all one on the earth. People talk and change and engage on the internet. That also creates a different flow. So in essence, we can't all be in the perfection of the moment. Or, you know, close to the top, when there's always a cycle of life. Just as if something is born, it has to die. Do you ever see anybody post dead flowers all the time on their internet site? I don't think so. You're always posting them when they're in their, quote, perfection. So does that really create change?
No,
there is posting perfection?
Yes, I totally agree with you, and there is a beauty about it's sort of like an upset. It's like a revolution, actually, and it is happening. It's totally happening, and I see it. I saw it. I lived in New York for 2 years recently, and the protests were unbelievable and so beautiful, and just, you know, demanding of our world and the change that needs to take place. The women's rallies and, you know, the environmental rallies, and, you know, it was just an amazing thing, and, you know, demanding equality and rights, and it was a fascinating experience to be in New York during the past 2 years, and I do see it. I get you. I'm an environmentalist. I'm a humanitarian. I'm an activist, this has been my daily work, you know, for a long time, since I popped out, really.
Don't you think, in a way, that you're potentially just in a starseed in awareness, That's what I would call it. Because when you're a star seed in awareness, in other words, you're here to share these intimate stories, to share the stories of what you see and feel, and to share how it reflects in the environment. So in other words, you know there's so much better, and you're here to uncover the earth and say, see, don't you, can you see it? And then it sort of fits into your book because, again, My Guardian Angels, because you needed to, quote, see it for yourself because you validate it with a picture. So really what you're doing is you're sharing things and saying to others, see, I'm going to point it to you. I'm going to validate it for you so you can understand it. Don't you think that's truly it?
Oh, well, yes and beyond that.
Right.
You know, it goes even deeper. I mean, like I said, I was a victim of child abuse, and ever since my childhood, I've been reeling, just reeling. I don't know if you remember Forrest Gump, Jenny, who was abused by her father in a story. She was reeling. You know, there was even a moment when she wanted to jump off a ledge, right? And this moment that I had with these spirits brought me back. They brought me, I'm not saying that I wanted to kill myself. I didn't. But I was just not grounded. I've never been really grounded in that way. I've always cared about everything, but I never really felt like I was protected by anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Until I had this moment with God, until I had this moment, you know, where I asked for help. I really deeply, sincerely, in my heart, asked for help from Jesus, and he sent me these two messengers which I captured on my phone. And I think Steve Jobs, if he were alive, he would be like blown away that I captured these on my phone. He goes, wow. I'm sure he would be like, wow.
Right.
But anyway, yeah. Needless to say, you know, I know I'm not alone now. I know that I have these angelic spirits surrounding me, like right above me or around me. And wherever I go, they're there. And the funny thing is, though, Dr. Jeanette, is that I felt like when this moment happened to me, like I knew these spirits. Like I knew them. Like
right.
They were friends of mine. They were friends. I knew them. It was like a reunion. It was like this right? It was like a reunion with the spirits that I've known my whole life.
It's almost when you have these type moments is when we are engaged with the energy. In other words, you can put your hand over a stove, you could feel the heat. You could put it inside of snow when you feel the cold. You can lay your hand on a newborn and you can feel that energy also. And you can feel it also in a person who's ready to pass on. You can feel that energy also leaving. So when you get very attuned to shifts in the vital force energy of a being or anything, you can also see it. And when you feel them around you, they really almost merge with your energy enough so that it touches every cell. And I think that's where it's really important. Yes?
Yes. Interesting that you mentioned that, because I was in San Diego when my mom passed away. After having this encounter with God, I was homeless. I lost my house. This is why I prayed so hard. I was foreclosed. And so I moved to San Diego to be with my mom, who was dying of cancer, which I guess is why. It's funny because things happen for a reason. So I really loved my mom, and it was like God telling me, get out of here and go be with your mom. Go be with your mom. This is where you need to be.
Yeah.
So that was my guidance. That was my path. That was my journey. And I didn't see it at the time, but, you know, now I look back and I'm like, that's why this happened. So I'm with my mom, and the moment, the night she died was 3 in the morning, and I was down the hall in my room asleep. But I felt this jolt, this like lightning bolt jolt, touch my forehead, and my whole body shook. And I felt my mom. I felt this energy of my mom telling me how much she loved me. and telling me that everything's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the moment she died.
Right.
That was her spirit touching my body as hard as she possibly could, but I felt it even asleep. And it was one of the most beautiful experiences. And I think that more people experience this if they open themselves up to, you know, wanting to be in touch with the spirit world.
Right.
You know, right? I mean, if you allow yourself to embrace the spirit world and love the spirit world, then these things will happen to you. But if you don't, then I don't know.
You know, it's really interesting because if you had not had that, if you had not had that moment when your house was taken away, in other words, what was being taken away was the life that you thought life was about.
Yeah.
And when all
lot,
of that...
Yeah.
Right, when all of that goes away and then you have that experience, that was a primer to be able to experience your mother. If you had not had that prior, there's a potential
mm-hmm.
that you may have just passed it by. You may
mm-hmm.
have not recognized it. So I think there's always these stepping stones along our path. It's just in reflection can we see them. Sometimes we say, this was a hard one. That was worse. This was a hole. This was a terrible challenge. Oh, this almost broke
right.
me. You know, but then you stand back and you look at it, you know, 2-3 decades later, and you say, oh, look at how everything fit in.
I just had it easily. I just had an interview the other morning with someone, you know, on another talk show, and she said in Texas, you know, she's a wonderful woman. I've been on her show twice. And she said, look, you know, things happen for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. And I totally believe that. And, you know, you look at the devastation and the destruction and the horrifying experiences people have. Like I did, I suffered as a child. I hid. I was hiding my whole childhood from my stepfather, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there wasn't an area in my home that I didn't know where I didn't hide.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, it wouldn't have made me had an epiphany about Jesus as a teenager, you know, that struck right through my heart and made me believe in Jesus. Like, why did that happen? Why did Jesus come to my rescue? Why did I have this miraculous moment with guardian angels, you know, that came to my rescue? And write a book about it, and write a book about helping the world, you know, because my whole book is about helping the world. And,
right.
and why did I, you know, spend my mom's last year on the planet with her, you know, who I really loved, even though she allowed the abuse to happen. I don't know why. I don't know. I never have really had the closure of that, but I'm okay with it. I'm you know, he should have been put in jail, this man, but I'm okay with it. You know, I forgave her.
I think
so. Forgiveness is another key. Forgiveness is also,
right.
you know, really important. So
I think also, too, the times when things happen, it isn't why they've happened. It's almost more or less as, oh, I see it. It's an experience. And move
mm-hmm.
through it. Because sometimes
exactly.
If we live a life sometimes of always why or solutionizing or fixing or, you know, everything is wrong and everything has to be right, we live a real life of duality instead of living a life of experience. In other words, can you truly see that as we are part of nature and everything, people will say, well, that's them. You know, that's a bug. That's a tree. That we're humans. We are higher than, we're better
no,
than.
No, we're
and
not.
That of them
we're
creates
not.
That.
Yeah.
Right, that creates that
mm-hmm.
duality.
Mm-hmm.
So I think sometimes if you take it and drum it down simply and say, I see it, I'm aware of it, and you do your best to be able to shift it rather than, quote, change it, or fix it, or, you know, sometimes people will say, I'm really hurting, I'm having a lot of pain, I'm having this, that, or the other going on, and all they're really doing is they just want to be heard. They're not saying,
mm-hmm.
I want
mm-hmm.
you to give me a reason or a fix or a solution or tell me what I did wrong so you could slap my fingers and I won't do it again. What they're really saying is I just need to be heard, or I just need to hear myself, or I just need to hear period. And then once they start hearing or seeing, that's when you have times created like yours, the book again, My Guardian Angels, when you can see these senses of energy and these senses of motion around you. That's when that starts to show up.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. It's interesting because when you mentioned bugs and nature and, you know, it's like I even taught my son not to kill a bug. I mean, put it outside.
Right.
Just put it outside. You know that they're scared when you start to, like, even attempt to kill it. They run around. They're, like, scurrying. They're like, no, please, don't kill me. And I remember my grandfather, who was like the only great source of a man in my life, who was a beautiful man, an amazing man, used to go marlin fishing, you know, in California. And he finally stopped. He goes, look, if anything is struggling that much to stay alive, I'm going to let it live. And it's true. It's like I have a hard time, like, watching people kill anything for us. Like, I can't watch videos of even a slaughterhouse. You know, I can't do it. I can't imagine, because we're all so connected. We're all with the insect world, with nature, with the animal kingdom. And we're just sort of, we're not a higher people, humans. We're not. As far as I'm concerned, we're even lower than a bug on the floor, because we're the ones that are destroying everything. We're the ones that are killing everything. But we shouldn't be doing it. We're equal with everything. We're all equal. You know, we're all God's, in God's eyes, we're all His creatures. And it saddens me that people think that we're better than the rest of the world. We're not.
You know, it's interesting when you were saying about the bugs. Just before when you were talking about your mother, I'm sitting here looking at my sliding glass door, and there's this bug that just keeps hitting the glass repeatedly. I mean, it did it for 5 minutes. It just kept hitting it because it wanted to come in. And, you know, and that's its way of, because you could even hit it when it was hitting the door. That's its way of drawing attention to you, saying, yes, I'm here, I'm here. So in essence, that could be any sense of any energy that wants to speak.
Exactly. Yeah. He's got his own voice.
Yeah. And a lot of times it's messages for people, too. It's sort of like, yes, I see you. I know what you're doing. I can hear you. And I think sometimes people disallow these special times and they don't realize them.
Of course. Everybody has a voice.
Yeah, absolutely. So if your mother was ever talking about bugs or you spoke to her about it, that was her on my glass door. She was trying to make her point known.
My mom might even be one of my guardian angels right now. You know, I think there's a changing of the guard with angels, because God has to put people back down on earth. You know, even souls are recycled. So spirits are recycled. And I think, you know, of course she was not gone yet when I had this angelic moment with God, but you know, I think there really is a changing of the guard. And I spoke to a friend of mine about this, and she goes, I think so too. I think that, you know, you can't have the same guardian angels your whole life, because God has to, you know, put, of course, with all the population explosion boom here going on, are you kidding? He has to recycle spirits. So my mom could be easily one of my guardian angels right now. Who knows?
Right. You know, I think sometimes, too, the idea that we live in so many parallel universes at the same time, you know, our energy can be in those different places. When you go to sleep, you dream. When you are ready to pass on, you see your life already in front of you. or when something happens, you say, I feel like it's deja vu when I'm living in the past moments. So I think sometimes all of these collectives kind of shows up. You know, I also, too, have shared so many times with people, I said, if someone has passed on, and let's say you have something of theirs, and you keep calling, you pass by it on your desk, maybe you say, I see that photo, and you keep calling on them and keep bringing them to attention. In essence, you're really attaching to their energy, and you keep calling them. And sometimes people will say, go for a reading, you know, with someone that can tell me about who might be talking to me or whatever. And I'll say, but you keep calling on them, and you keep calling on them. They can't be free, you know, and we laughed about that. And we say, are we tethering to those that have passed to keep them recreated in the present? And I think that's so important. We say, just allow them to be free and see where they show up. And
well,
untethering is when they show up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, a lot of people just don't want to accept or embrace, you know, moments like that, or just even the possibility of a moment like that, you know, just even the idea of you know, embracing the spirit world. They just, they're afraid. A lot of people are just literally afraid. I want to share another experience I had with my mom when she was in the hospital before she passed. And this was right before she passed, like maybe a few weeks. Mm-hmm. And she jolted up out of bed. And she had these tubes, you know, in her, outer, you know, all around her.
Right.
And her eyes wide open, and she looked at the doorway. And I go, Mom, are you all right? And she goes, who are those people over there? Who are those people?
Right.
And I looked at her, and I said, Mom, there's no one there. Mm-hmm. And she goes, you don't see that man and that woman over there? And I said, no. And I knew right away, I knew, because I am a believer that, mm-hmm. That those were her guardian angels, ready to take her to the next life.
Right.
And I knew, even though I couldn't see them, and that was like a really amazing moment, you know.
Usually they're called guards in waiting. In other words, someone's there,
mm-hmm.
you know, to receive,
mm-hmm.
or friends,
mm-hmm.
friends in waiting or whatever.
Sure. It was a beautiful moment, though. It was a really beautiful moment, you know.
I think these times that we talk about today, Karen, is about being able to be aware. And when we share our stories, when I share mine and you share yours, and also, too, in your book about my guardian angels, I think the idea is that others can say, I have a sense of that, and my story is a little different. It's a little bit a little bit of an extension of that story. It's something a little bit maybe out there kind of idea, or maybe it's something that I'm not really sure what it's about. I think the idea is really truly to write it down, to be able to set it to the side and say, I will revisit this a few days, a few weeks, maybe a few years, and all of a sudden you'll say, wow, now I see how that story is played forward. I think that's always about in reflection. Can we see the gift? And really, when we're in that moment is when we're really engaged in it. Don't you think that's how your book came about?
I think it's easily, and I think that, you know, it's interesting because after my mom passed away, I moved back to Los Angeles, and I rented a house on a street called 1905 Livonia. 1905 is the year my grandfather was born. And, and so, you know, it had all that meaning to me, but I didn't notice it then. I didn't notice the numbers then. And numbers.
Yes, in reflection.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, easily. So, and then the first publication of my book, which is, came out on July 13th, which was his birthday.
Yeah.
So, in that retrospect, I think that he could easily be one of my guardian angels.
Right.
Maybe even still right now.
Mm-hmm.
But his whole existence also helped to inspire to write this book. And the beauty and love that he brought to me, you know, after being horribly abused by my stepfather, you know. He was like kind of an angel to me then. And, you know, we all have a purpose. Everyone has a purpose. Everyone has a voice, you know. And whether they're alive or not alive, they still have a voice. That's
right.
The funny thing. Like, I think there are more angels on earth than people. Because my sister used to tell me, oh, Karen, you have 10 guardian angels the way you drive.
Right.
And I used to believe that I really did have 10 guardian angels.
Right. Well, you know, here's another one. My daughter, when she was in high school, I said something. She had taken my car and she was figured it was hers. You know, she just decided it was going to be hers, and she got in it every day and just took off. But one day I said something about the car, and she says, well, Dolores doesn't like what you say. I said, what are you talking about? She says, my car is named Dolores Jenkins. She talks to me all the time, and she's going to keep me safe. And I said, okay, fabulous. And now she's got another car, and she got so mad because one day, she, after like 6 years later, she got a new car, and I said, well, I'm selling the old one. And she got mad because I didn't tell her. She says, well, Dolores, DJ2, Dolores Jenkins 2, is really mad. You got rid of her first car. And I went, oh, Lord. You know, so I think the idea that we'll be able to connect to something so light and to have these, you know, light stories like yours, you know, with 10 angels, it's be able to say, have lightness of life because we make it so hard. Don't you think, in closing?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we need to just, yes, of course. I love that she named the car Dolores.
Dolores Jenkins. Yeah. Don't ask me. I always used to call it Rosebud, but she called it Dolores. It was Dolores Jenkins.
Rosebud, like Citizen Kane.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Dolores Jenkins. Wait, I got to tell you this one real quick in closing, Karen.
All right.
But it's so funny. All of my astrological numbers would all come up to a certain number, and I was reading this book one day. I had a guest on about numbers.
Numbers are really important.
Yeah, and about astrology and things like that. And somewhere, it was a big, thick book, and all of a sudden on one of my pages it said 007 was an important marker for me to note. And I said, what are you talking about? That's ridiculous.
James Bond?
How about this? I randomly just get license plates, and I've lived in a few states. My one for Arizona was 007. My one for Pennsylvania was 007. My one for Louisiana was 007 right now. And I'm going, what the heck? You just handed me this, and it's I think to tell you that you're okay. Sometimes, you know, we don't always hear angels. We don't hear ghosts or spirits or even God speaking to us, but we can see these type things along the way to say, 007, you're okay. No big deal.
Well, no, 7 is a huge number that says you're on the right path.
Right.
Yeah, you're on the right, you're on your the right journey. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, sharing with others and enlightening others.
Right.
And helping others.
Mm-hmm.
And my numbers that have haunted me for like the past 30 years, 20-something years, are 437. Mm-hmm. And so finally my friend Michelle here in L.A., she goes, Karen, she's an artist. She said, you need to look up the angelic meaning for 437 because this is – and it does – I looked it up and it says – I'm on the right path.
Right.
This is my journey. This is that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
So and then sharing light. And when I read that I'm sharing light with others after shooting the light of my moment with God.
Right.
So it all comes together. It all just comes together.
It sure does. And I think to also be aware. So I think what you and I shared today was about our awareness and how to be able to play it forward. So I think, Karen, could you share with the listeners how to find out more information about you? That would be wonderful.
Oh, okay. So it's on every website around the world. And, you know, Amazon, of course, you know, Barnes & Noble. It's on, you can get it on my website. I have a website called myguardianangels.world. And I guess that's it. I mean, you can do the ebook if you want, which is a lot less expensive than, you know, the hardcover. And there you go.
Great. Well, Karen, it was such a pleasure to have you with us here today. I think sometimes we just need to have a little bit of encouragement to be able to step outside and say, bring it on, you know, and see what happens and just join in the journey, right?
Let's bring it on.
Right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It was such a
pleasure. Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. If you'd like to find out more information about Karen Musette and her book, My Guardian Angels, please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page and go directly to her website. And it truly is about being able to stand up, reach out, be able to say, bring it on. Lord, I'd love to have an experience today. Just how profound and wonderful might that be? You could see glitter from heaven. You could see a lizard crawl over your foot. You could find a great moth in the corner of the cupboards. And you could say, you know what? Transformation, movement, and light all around me. And isn't it a glorious day? Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Till tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.